John chapter 10.
Otwórzcie Biblię na Ewangelii Jana na rozdziale 10.
And verse 7.
Werset 7.
Then said Jesus unto them, Again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep.
Wtedy Jezus znowu powiedział, zaprawdę, zaprawdę, powiadam wam, ja jestem drzwiami dla owiec.
I'm going to go real slow tonight.
Będę dzisiaj mówił bardzo powoli.
So I'm going to ask you to talk to your neighbor.
Więc poproszę was teraz, żebyście porozmawiali ze swoimi sąsiadami.
So that you follow this message.
Żebyście nadążali za tym.
Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep.
Więc Jezus powiedział, ja jestem drzwiami.
We are sheep.
My jesteśmy owcami.
We are born again.
My jesteśmy narodzeni na nowo.
We are not wolves.
Nie jesteśmy wilkami.
We are not beasts of the forest.
Nie jesteśmy jakimiś leśnymi zwierzętami.
We are sheep.
Jesteśmy owcami.
One time in Russia, I took a taxi.
Kiedyś w Rosji pojechałem taksówką.
In Moscow.
W Moskwie.
And I asked the driver, "How are you?"
I zapytałem kierowcę, jak się pan ma.
And he said, "Not good."
A on powiedział, nie najlepiej.
I have to live like a wolf.
Muszę żyć jak wilk.
Life is hard.
Życie jest ciężkie.
I asked him, what does he mean?
I zapytałem, co on przez to rozumie.
I have to fight.
Muszę walczyć.
I have to be like a wolf.
Muszę być jak wilk.
That's what he said.
Tak powiedział.
And he said, how are you?
I zapytał mnie, a jak się pan ma?
I said, well, I'm a sheep.
A ja odpowiedziałem, ja jestem owcą.
And I feel like I'm in danger right now.
I czuję się... Czuję się teraz trochę zagrożony.
So ask your neighbor.
Więc zapytaj swojego sąsiada.
Do you feel like a wolf tonight or are you a sheep tonight?
Czy czujesz się dzisiaj jak wilk, czy jesteś dzisiaj owcą?
Okay. Now go to verse 8.
Przejdziemy do wersetu 8.
All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers.
Wszyscy, ilu przede mną przyszło, to złodzieje i zbójcy.
I want to say, there is a lot of stealing that goes on in life.
Chcę powiedzieć, że w życiu ma miejsce wiele kradzieży.
There are a lot of thieves and robbers.
Jest mnóstwo zbójców i złodziei w życiu.
There is a lot of violence in life.
W życiu jest pełno przemocy.
We see military violence next door.
Zaraz obok widzimy militarną przemoc.
But there is also ideological stealing.
Ale jest też kradzież ideologiczna.
The world wants your mind.
Przemoc ideologiczna. Świat chce twojego umysłu.
The world wants your heart.
Świat chce twojego serca.
The world wants your life.
Świat chce twojego życia.
There are thieves.
Są złodzieje.
A difference between a thief and a robber.
Różnica między złodziejem a złoczyńcą, zbójcą.
Yeah,
zbójcą.
You know the difference? A thief comes in at the night.
Jest taka, że złodziej przychodzi w nocy.
And he takes these and steals them.
I zabiera to i kradnie to.
And you don't see him.
I już go nie widzisz.
It disappears.
Znika.
This disappears in the night.
To znika w nocy.
Nobody sees it.
Nikt tego nie widzi.
But a robber.
Ale zbójca.
Comes like this to Anastasia.
Do Anastazji.
And she sees me.
I ona mnie widzi.
And I rob her.
I ja ją...
Yeah, and she has lost something.
I ona coś straci.
One way you don't see it.
Jednego sposobu nie widzimy.
And the other way you see it.
A drugi sposób jest taki,
and
że
immediately
go widać. I od razu
you lose it.
Od razu tracimy coś.
But this one goes secret.
Ale to jest taki tajny sposób.
And 2 days later.
I 2 dni później.
Where did it go?
Co się z tym stało?
Or 1 week later.
Albo tydzień później.
Where are my papers?
Gdzie są moje kartki?
This happens all the time.
Ciągle się takie rzeczy zdarzają.
In life.
W życiu.
They stole my time.
Ukradli mi czas.
They stole my heart.
Skradli mi serce.
They stole my friend.
Ukradli mi przyjaciela.
He stole my wife.
Ukradł mi żonę.
He stole my job.
Ukradł mi pracę.
He stole my apartment.
Ukradł mi mieszkanie.
He stole my bicycle.
Ukradł mi rower.
This is life.
To jest życie.
Jesus says,
Jezus mówi,
I know this.
Wiem o tym.
I know this.
Wiem o tym.
Go to verse 8.
Teraz werset 8.
But the sheep did not hear them.
Lecz owce nie słuchały ich.
The sheep did not hear them.
Owce nie słuchały ich.
This is a blessing.
To jest błogosławieństwo.
We cannot hear everything.
Nie słyszymy wszystkiego.
We are not listening to their lies.
Nie słuchamy ich kłamstw.
We're not believing in them.
Nie wierzymy w nie.
There are many things we do not believe in.
Jest wiele rzeczy, w które nie wierzymy.
That the world is saying all the time.
Które świat cały czas mówi.
I have three of them.
Spisałem sobie trzy takie rzeczy.
Number one,
po pierwsze,
actually maybe four.
Może cztery.
There is no God.
Nie ma Boga.
There is no God.
Nie ma Boga.
But can you hear him?
Ale czy słyszysz go?
I cannot hear you.
Nie słyszę cię.
I cannot hear you.
Nie słyszę.
Number two.
Po drugie.
The Bible is not true.
Biblia jest nieprawdziwa.
It's not true.
Jest nieprawdziwa.
It's not the word of God.
Nie jest Słowem Bożym.
I cannot hear you.
Nie słyszę cię.
I cannot hear you.
Nie słyszę.
The Bible is true.
Biblia jest prawdziwa.
I hear the shepherd.
Słyszę pasterza.
I hear the spirit.
Słyszę ducha.
I hear the body of Christ.
Słyszę ciało Chrystusa.
I hear my Bible.
Słyszę moją Biblię.
The Bible is true.
Biblia jest prawdziwa.
Number three.
Po trzecie.
Humanity is the greatest thing in history.
Ludzkość to najwspanialsza rzecz w historii.
Humanity.
Ludzkość.
The iPhone.
iPhone,
men in space,
człowiek w kosmosie,
the satellites,
satelity,
electric cars,
elektryczne samochody,
humanity,
ludzkość,
the philosophers,
filozofowie.
I cannot hear you.
Nie słyszę.
I do not believe that.
Nie wierzę ci.
The greatest thing in life,
najwspanialsza rzecz w
życiu, is not people,
to nie ludzie,
it's God,
ale Bóg.
The greatest thing in life,
najwspanialsza rzecz w życiu,
is God,
to Bóg.
It is not people,
to nie ludzie,
it is not man,
to nie człowiek,
it is God,
to Bóg.
Can you hear that?
Czy słyszysz?
Yes.
Tak.
There's another thing.
Jeszcze jedno.
That the world says.
Świat mówi jeszcze jedną rzecz.
We have a bright future.
Mamy przed sobą świetlaną przyszłość.
We can build a civilization.
Możemy zbudować cywilizację.
We can have world peace.
Możemy mieć pokój na świecie.
World unity.
I jedność.
Thieves and robbers.
Złodzieje i zbójcy.
They lie.
Oni kłamią.
They steal.
Oni kradną.
And they destroy.
I niszczą.
Go to the next verse, please.
Spójrzmy w następny werset.
Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture.
Ja jestem drzwiami. Jeżeli ktoś przeze mnie wejdzie, zbawiony będzie i wejdzie i wyjdzie i pastwisko znajdzie.
The real shepherd.
Prawdziwy pasterz.
The unique savior.
Wyjątkowy zbawiciel.
The living God.
Żywy Bóg.
Says.
Mówi,
you will go in and out.
Wejdziesz i wyjdziesz.
Like David.
Jak Dawid.
It said that David would go in and out.
Jest powiedziane, że Dawid wejdzie i wyjdzie.
Like Psalm 18.
Jak w Psalmie 18.
The greatness of God.
Wielkość Boża.
In your life.
Wspaniałość Boża w twoim
życiu. The Holy
życiu.
Spirit.
I Duch Święty.
Is a spirit of liberty.
Jest duch wolności.
And you have the authority.
I masz autorytet.
To go in and out.
Aby wejść i wyjść.
Because you have a shepherd.
Bo masz pasterza.
And you hear his voice.
I słyszysz jego głos.
Okay, let's listen to Pastor Oktay.
Słuchajmy pastora Oktaya.
Good morning, everyone.
Dzień dobry.
So good to be among you.
Wspaniale jest być pośród was.
In the body of Christ.
W ciele Chrystusa.
And to be covered with your love.
być otoczonym waszą miłością
with your attention
i waszą uwagą.
And we really appreciate it.
I naprawdę doceniamy to.
So as you know, there is a difficult situation there in Ukraine.
Jak wiecie, mamy teraz w Ukrainie trudną sytuację.
And even though we are in a safe place now,
i mimo że teraz jesteśmy w bezpiecznym miejscu,
we still have a sense of a danger.
Nadal odczuwamy, mamy takie poczucie zagrożenia.
Sometimes we hear sirens in our mind.
Czasami w głowie słyszymy syrenę.
And all that stuff, but God is good.
I tak dalej, ale Bóg jest dobry.
And as Pastor Schaller said, we don't want to complain.
I jak powiedział Pastor Schaller, nie chcemy narzekać.
We could ask God, you know, people in Ukraine could ask God.
Ludzie w Ukrainie pytają Boga.
Why is it happening?
Dlaczego to się wydarzyło?
Why we are praying day after day to this war would be stopped, but it's not.
Dlaczego, mimo że modlimy się każdego dnia o to, żeby ta wojna się zakończyła, to ona nadal trwa?
And we need to revise our beliefs.
Musimy być mądrzy w naszej wierze.
How do we perceive God? How we see God?
Jak postrzegamy Boga?
Is he good when it's everything is okay and peaceful?
Czy uważamy, że jest dobry, kiedy wszystko się dobrze układa?
Or even in the storm?
Czy uważamy, że jest dobry również w burzy? Że on jest przy nas.
Yeah, will he protect us during this time?
Czy on nas ochroni w tym czasie?
And he does.
On nas ochrania.
This is a testimony that he does miracles.
I to jest nasze świadectwo, że Bóg czyni cuda.
Yes, there's reports that some of our brothers, Christian brothers.
Tak słyszymy od, przepraszam. O tym, że nasi bracia chrześcijanie
doing humanitarian volunteer work, trying to save people,
pracują jako ochotnicy i starają się ratować ludzi,
were killed,
i giną,
and there was our Heavenly Father there,
i są teraz z naszym Ojcem w niebie,
but many others were protected,
ale wielu innych jest ochronionych,
this
uratowanych.
Is a time when you search closely, when you search God closely, you want him to be really, really close to you.
W takich chwilach chcę, żeby Bóg był naprawdę blisko ciebie.
Because all this news and reports, you know, you see the destroyed cities.
Bo słyszymy ciągle o tym, jak miasta są niszczone.
And every day you're waiting, this war will come closer to your city as well.
I każdego dnia czekasz i widzisz, jak wojna zbliża się też do twojego miasta.
And these waves of fear come upon you, like from atmosphere.
I z atmosfery przychodzą, zalewają cię takie fale lęku.
That everything will be like bad. That everything will be bad. You have fear that everything.
Czy boisz się, że wszystko to źle się skończy?
Yeah, and worse. But God speaks to you.
Że będzie jeszcze gorzej, ale Bóg mówi do nas w tych sytuacjach.
Every night you go pray, like Lord, keep us safe this night.
Wieczorem modlisz się i prosisz Boga, aby ochronił nas.
And when you woke up in the morning, you say, "Hallelujah, I'm alive."
I modlisz się, Boże, chroń nas. Chcemy być bezpieczni. Rano budzisz się i mówisz, "Alleluja, żyjemy."
And we all think, "Wow, what an amazing time! You know, it's a dangerous time, but you value every day that God gives you. Can you imagine?
Jest niebezpiecznie, ale jest to niesamowity czas, kiedy cenisz każdy dzień, każdą chwilę.
It's totally new when you sing the hymns, where you worship God.
Kiedy śpiewasz hymny i chwalisz Boga, i wielbisz Boga, to nabiera zupełnie nowego znaczenia.
We sing songs and we say, "Wow, you give us life every day." There's like a chorus, you know. We sing that.
I śpiewamy taką piosenkę, w której refren mówi: "Dajesz nam życie każdego dnia."
And you sing, "Yeah, that's really actual for us right now."
I to jest
every
dla
day
nas.
You give us life.
Naprawdę aktualne.
And that's a miracle.
Każdego dnia dajesz nam życie.
When we read when we were in Lviv, Pastor Mikhail was speaking about the Matthew 24.
About
In Matthew 24. Pastor okay. Mikhail was speaking.
I to jest tak naprawdę cud, kiedy byliśmy we Lwowie, Pastor Misza mówił o głosiu z Mateusza 24.
When Christ talks about the tribulation period.
Gdzie Chrystus mówi o wielkim ucisku.
He speaks to Jews, but it's very applicable to us right now.
I on mówił to akurat do Żydów, ale to się też bardzo do nas teraz stosuje.
Like pray that your fleeing, your run away would not happen at winter time.
I módl się o to, żeby kiedy akurat uciekasz, żeby nie złapała cię zima.
You know, he said like woe to the pregnant and those who feed with the breast.
Biada ciężarnym w tym czasie i biada tym, które karmią.
And there is like several babies were born in the bombshells in subways in Kharkiv and other places.
W Charkowie i w innych miejscach kilkoro dzieci urodziło się w schronach.
And parents give names like for the girls like Victory, Victoria. A
ich matki nazwały swoje dzieci Victoria, zwycięstwo.
It's time when many Ukrainians go to God because there's no other way.
W tym czasie wielu Ukraińców zwraca się do Boga, bo nie ma nadziei nigdzie indziej.
We were doing in Odessa, we were doing every day an outreach.
W Odessie każdego dnia wychodziliśmy na ewangelizację.
We were going out every day and pass these tracts and the prayer books where there's Lord's Prayer, 90s, Psalm 90 and other psalms and other stuff.
Dawaliśmy ludziom takie modlitwy, gdzie była modlitwa pańska i Psalm 19 i inne takie teksty.
And many people were receiving it.
Takie traktaty rozdawaliśmy ludziom i wiele osób to przyjmowało.
You, maybe by sight you would think this person would not take the something about religion and so on.
I może wydawałoby się, że jakaś konkretna osoba nie przyjmie jakiegoś pamfletu religijnego.
But when you approach him and said, this is for you.
Ale kiedy podchodziliśmy do nich i mówiliśmy, to jest dla ciebie.
You would need it when you will sit in a bombshell, you know, when I mean bomb shelter, when sirens will go on.
Może ci się to przydać, kiedy będziesz w schronie, kiedy odezwą się syreny.
You will read it.
Wtedy to przeczytaj.
Pray to God, God protect this building where you are.
Módl się do Boga i Bóg ochroni ten budynek, w którym
and
jesteś.
People receive it.
I ludzie to przyjmują.
So we pray that God would give us amazing harvest afterwards.
Więc modlimy się o to, aby Bóg nam dał wielkie żniwo później.
You know, this 200 or whatever tracks we during these 2 weeks or more we passed it. Every track would work was in people's life.
W ciągu tych 2 tygodni rozdaliśmy ponad 200 takich traktatów i Bóg działa w życiu tych ludzi. Modlimy się, żeby Bóg działał w życiu tych ludzi.
That's what we do. Like we revise what we do now during the war. What could we do? What should we do?
Kiedy pytamy się, co możemy zrobić teraz w czasie tej wojny, to właśnie to robimy.
So I got this thought like as Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians.
Jak powiedział apostoł Paweł w pierwszym liście do Koryntian.
Follow me as I follow Christ.
Naśladujcie mnie tak jak ja naśladuję Chrystusa.
Imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Naśladujcie mnie tak jak ja naśladuję Chrystusa.
So I say we want to imitate Paul.
Więc chcemy naśladować apostoła Pawła.
We want to imitate David.
Chcemy naśladować Dawida.
We want to imitate all the other prophets that go before us.
Chcemy naśladować tych proroków, którzy byli przed nami.
We want to imitate Christ.
Chcemy naśladować Chrystusa.
Who had compassion to the people.
Który miał współczucie dla ludzi.
And wherever we are.
I gdziekolwiek jesteśmy.
You know, we won't have peace and Paul said that in Philippians 4:9 when he said, you know, whatever you heard of me, learn of me, see in me, do.
Filipian 4:9 Paweł napisał, cokolwiek widzieliście we mnie, jak co widzieliście, że ja czynię, to i wyczyńcie.
And God of peace, of shalom will be with you.
I Bóg pokoju, Bóg shalom będzie z wami.
And I said, Lord, we want to have a peace at least in our minds.
I powiedziałem, Boże, chcę mieć pokój w tej sytuacji.
What should I do?
Co mam robić?
I go witness to people.
Idę i świadczę ludziom.
Because their lives could end right now, but the eternal life, what will happen with their eternal life?
Bo może oni teraz przeżyli, ale co z ich życiem wiecznym?
What will happen with their souls?
Co stanie się z ich duszą?
And then I want to be as a good Samaritan to those who around me.
I chcę być dobrym Samarytaninem dla tych, którzy są wokół mnie.
To neighbor fellows.
Dla moich sąsiadów,
to our neighbors in apartment when we live, when we go to the basement.
Dla moich sąsiadów w bloku, w którym mieszkam i z którymi spędzam czas potem w piwnicy.
We get to know almost all the our neighbors in this block where we live.
Znamy wszystkich naszych sąsiadów.
Like we almost became a friend with them.
Z tego siedzenia w piwnicy już zaprzyjaźniliśmy się z nimi wszystkimi.
Some of them said, okay, you living, don't worry, we will take care of your apartment.
Oni powiedzieli: wyjeżdżacie, nie martwcie się, zajmiemy się waszym mieszkaniem.
Please, please keep eye on our apartment because you know there could be looters and you know thieves go.
Poprosiliśmy ich, żeby tak pilnowali naszego mieszkania, bo może ktoś przyjść spróbować się splądrować, albo mogą być jacyś złodzieje.
And we made the cardboard when we went out to Auschwitz.
Jak wychodziliśmy na ewangelizację, zrobiliśmy sobie na tekturze taki znak.
Pastor Love was speaking about this verse yesterday.
Pastor Love wczoraj mówił o tym wersecie.
In the Gospel of Mark.
W Ewangelii Marka.
We wrote, don't be afraid, just keep believing.
Napisaliśmy na tej tekturze, nie bój się, tylko wierz.
And we put it on the window.
I wstawiliśmy tą tekturę w okno, żeby ludzie widzieli.
And one of our neighbors, he goes almost every day, he went out. And he films that our windows are not broken. He just shows us like everything.
Jeden
is okay.
Z naszych sąsiadów codziennie wychodzi przed dom i filmuje nasze okna, żeby pokazać nam, że okna jeszcze nie są rozbite i wysyła nam ten.
These prayer books and they know it. Like, yeah, yeah. You know, are you afraid today? Oh well, no, no. There's news that the warships are coming to Odessa.
I oni w naszym mieszkaniu są różne takie książki o modlitwie i tak dalej. I pytamy ich zawsze, czy boicie się? I oni mówią, że słyszeliśmy, że pancerniki jakieś zbliżają się, okręty wojskowe zbliżają się do Odessy.
We say, don't worry, we'll pray the storm will go.
I my powiedzieliśmy się, im nie martwcie się, modlimy się o to, żeby ich burza zatrzymała.
And then one day passed, second day, third day, and then
minął jeden dzień, drugi, trzeci.
And then there's news that war went back to Crimea.
I dowiedzieliśmy się, że te okręty wróciły na Krym.
But this is a war. They are coming again back.
Ale oczywiście trwa wojna i one mogą zawsze wrócić.
So what should we do at the wartime?
Więc co mamy robić, kiedy jesteśmy na wojnie?
We want to imitate Christ.
Chcemy naśladować Chrystusa.
To give hope for those who are around us.
Chcemy oferować, dawać nadzieję tym, którzy są wokół nas.
We are afraid.
Boimy się.
They are afraid.
I oni się boją.
But they don't know Christ.
Ale oni nie znają Chrystusa.
They can't get this peace that goes beyond our thinking.
Oni nie mają tego pokoju, który wykracza poza zrozumienie.
Only Christ gives this unbelievable shalom.
Tylko Chrystus może dać nam ten niewiarygodny szalom.
At the night.
W nocy.
You pray a prayer.
Modlisz się.
And say, God, you keep me.
I mówisz, Boże, zachowaj mnie.
I'll go to sleep.
A ja pójdę spać.
I'll believe you.
I będę z tobą.
So thank you for your prayers.
Dziękuję za wasze modlitwy.
And for your calls, many of you called us. And
za wasze telefony, wielu z was dzwoniło do nas.
Pastor Chris is in touch with us every day.
Pastor Chris utrzymuje z nami każdego dnia kontakt.
Some of our pastors in Cherkasy, they are in territorial defense with the weapon.
Niektórzy nasi pastorzy z Cherkas są w ochronie terytorialnej z karabinami.
Preparing to fight for their city.
Przygotowują się do obrony swojego miasta.
Pastor Andrzej in Kiev, he keeps Bible classes online.
Pastor Andrzej w Kijowie cały czas prowadzi lekcje szkoły biblijnej w internecie.
As he says, it's better to have a Bible class than to always watch the news.
On powiedział, lepiej jest oglądać wykłady szkoły biblijnej niż wiadomości w telewizji.
Pastor Mihaila in Lviv and the church in Lviv, it's like Lviv now it's a huge hub with the refugees, millions of refugees that go stay there or try to go to Europe now.
Pastor Misha w Lwowie powiedział, Lwów cały teraz jest obozem uchodźców, którzy chcą albo zostać w Lwowie, albo przedostać się dalej na zachód Europy.
So the church there is busy with helping, accommodation, passing the border, like receiving medicaments, all the supplies and try to spread to those who in need.
Więc Kościół zajmuje się tym, żeby pomagać ludziom znaleźć miejsce do zamieszkania albo przedostać się przez granicę. Przyjmują różne zaopatrzenie medyczne z zagranicy.
So people need your encouragement there.
I rozdają je tym, którzy go potrzebują, więc oni potrzebują waszego zachęcenia, waszej pomocy.
Whatever you can do.
Cokolwiek możecie dla nich zrobić.
Many people are without work now.
Wielu ludzi teraz nie ma pracy,
because businesses are closed,
bo firmy musiały się pozamykać.
So they need your help.
Więc oni potrzebują waszej pomocy.
And of course prayers. Prayers
i oczywiście modlitwy.
Very important.
Modlitwa jest bardzo ważna,
because God listens our prayers.
Bo Bóg słucha naszych modlitw.
Turn with me to Mark 15. the pastor that you heard was Pastor Akte, and that was his wife. They're Azeris, missionaries to Ukraine. The reason why they got out is because they're not Ukrainian men. So they allowed them to leave. Otherwise, all the other men have to stay to fight. So that was Pastor Akte. Mark 15, starting with verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, bless these words tonight. Bless our mission to Poland. This church, our churches, reaching out to gather, but also to minister in Eastern Europe. Thank you, God, for the hearts of the Europeans who banded together to support the Ukrainians. Thank you, God, for the Ukrainians and their courage and their faith. Use this thing, God. Use this opportunity. Be lifted high. Raise the name of God higher in the midst of all of this, we pray. Bless these words tonight in your son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Behind this verse, we hear the heart and the words of a wounded and broken Messiah. It's roughly between 1 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's quoting David from 1,000 years ago, from Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2. He's going through the greatest challenge of his life, the cross. And at this moment, he is surrounded by what seems like a blanket of darkness. This darkness seems to be so thick, it might be like the darkness in Exodus chapter 10 during the plagues of Egypt. Maybe, perhaps, he could even feel the weight of it. It was supernatural darkness. And when you read this portion of Scripture, the emphasis seems to be on the physical suffering of Jesus Christ. And it was grotesque. It was uniquely violent, demonically orchestrated. This physical suffering. But beyond the physical suffering, there's another layer of suffering here. There's another layer of suffering that he's never experienced in his life before, but it's expressed in this verse. This new level of suffering was new to him, and so new to him that even the people around him misunderstood it. Mark 15, 36 and 37, they assumed he was crying out for help from the prophet Elisha. But as always with the case with Jesus Christ, they misunderstood his pain. They misunderstood his life. They misunderstood his ministry. So why should it be different in his death than in his life? They misunderstood him. Many times in your life, you're misunderstood by your family, your friends, other believers. Maybe most of your life, you've been misunderstood. Christ was no different. We live this life and no one really knows what's going on in somebody else's life. We don't know. We really don't know. They misunderstood him. And they thought that he was asking for relief. But actually, he had a deeper need than relief. Maybe you live your life and you think about, I just want a relief from this job, a relief from this situation, a relief from this relationship, a relief from this health issue. But he wasn't asking for relief. Which is interesting, in this portion of Scripture, he's not asking for relief. If he wanted relief, he would have took the gall. He would have took the narcotic to numb the pain. He didn't want relief. In this verse, he's crying out and he's asking for something deeper than relief. He's crying out for relationship. He's crying out for relationship. At the heart of our walk with God is a relationship. In the middle of our call, at the foundation of our journey with God, there's relationship. The reason why we've gathered here tonight is not because we like each other, though we might. But all of us have a connection through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is relationship with Jesus Christ that makes us bend our knee. It is relationship with Jesus Christ that makes us open this book. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ that makes us worship and sing. That's what he's crying out for. And if you watch in this portion of scripture and throughout the Gospels, when Christ would pray, he was very intimate in how he prayed. Abba, Father, Father, my Father. And God the Father does not speak that often in the Gospels, but when he speaks about the Son, he's so personal. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Very personal, intimate communication. But when you look at these words and you look at the way Christ speaks to the Father here, he doesn't call him Father. He says, my God. It seems as if the fellowship has changed. It's not like an intimate conversation, but it seems like simple supplication now. Likened to the tabernacle, maybe he was in the Holy of Holies in worship, but now he's in the outer court. Something has changed here. On the worst day of his life, and the worst thing to happen in his life, God the Son does not sense God the Father's presence. Can you imagine? His whole life, he always sensed his Father's presence. And now here at the end, the most violent, the most oppressive, he cannot sense his Father's presence. You and I can go hours and not sense the Father's presence and we're okay. Can you imagine? Where are you? Father, where are you? Daddy, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? These are not the words of a broken faith. These are the words of a broken fellowship. A broken fellowship. You can almost hear the desperation in his voice. You can even hear the panic. He's never had to deal with this before. The cross was small compared to this. There's no pain, there's no torture, there's no beating that could be like this. You can hear the panic, the desperation, and he kind of encapsulates it with one word, forsaken. Mark here uses a powerful word. It's a word that speaks about something or someone being left behind, abandoned. But in the context, that's not really a good meaning for us. It's better said this way, left out. For the first time in his life, Jesus Christ experientially was left out. The Father and the Spirit are having fellowship, and the Son experientially is left out. Still connected, but not fellowshipping. Imagine that. Jesus Christ left out. In Matthew chapter 4, when he faces Satan face to face, fellowship was there. He was tired, he was hungry, but fellowship was there. In Matthew 26, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's sweating with so much demonic oppression that he literally sweats blood, but yet fellowship was there. But here, worse than the wilderness, worse than the garden, here, he cannot sense his Father. He doesn't say, the pain is too much for me. He doesn't say, the cross is too much for me. He says, Father, where are you? This was his greatest pain. This was his greatest pain. Where are you? I'm left out of the fellowship. Remember when you were young and you were left out of the conversation? How you felt when you were left out? Multiply that times eternity. Left out. And the way it says here in Mark chapter 15 and Psalm 22, it doesn't speak about a break in the relationship. It speaks about distancing. As if for a season, for a moment, God the Spirit and God the Father distance themselves experientially from the Son. He was left out. And this distancing had a reason. And the reason was sin. And this distancing had a purpose. And the purpose was redemption. It seems as if the shepherd of John 10 became the lamb. Became a lamb. A sacrificial lamb. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb. He who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. In Matthew 20:28. He would bear our sins on his own body in 1 Peter 2:24 and 25. Part of his punishment for our sins wasn't just his death. Part of his punishment was separation from fellowship with the Father for the first time and the only time in all of history. For 6 hours. Ever been in a relationship with someone that means so much to you and they stop talking to you? 1 minute, 5 minutes, it feels like an eternity. Imagine 6 hours. And we've talked every day for all of eternity. 6 hours. Some observations from this verse. First of all, there's great value in the presence of God in my life. There's great value in the presence of God in your life. If Jesus Christ would be willing to go through this so that you would just have the option to participate in the fellowship of God, in his presence. How powerful, how important it is to have the presence of God in my life. Second thing. We can be so cavalier about having the presence of God in our life. The great price that was paid for the presence of God to be in your life. You didn't just walk through a line and God handed you the presence of God. He sacrificed something he held dearest so that we would have the choice. What a price. Then finally, the great need for the presence of God in my life. The great need. It's as if Christ didn't need anything else on the cross. He asked for no water. He asked for no drugs. He asked for no food. He asked for no relief. He said, Father, where are you? If I just have you, I have everything. But for these sheep, for these people, I will sacrifice my everything. So that they can have what I have. Fellowship. And without the presence of God, if I live without the presence of God in my life for a long period of time, I can experience something interesting called practical spiritual loneliness. Practical spiritual loneliness. It's this numbing awareness that something is missing in your life. As a believer, I jump into ministry, I jump into outreach, I jump into things, but something is missing. It's the presence of God. It's the presence of God. Something is missing in my marriage. Something is missing in my family. Something is missing in my household. Something is missing in my job. It's the presence of God. The presence of God. Presence of God. Solomon felt it, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11. He had everything and something was missing. The presence of God. Jeremiah had so much to say, but in Jeremiah 9:2, something was missing. David in Psalm 102, something was missing. Have you felt that? Something is missing. I do my quiet time with God. I've got my, something is missing in my daily life. Something is missing. Am I too busy for the presence of God? The effect of the presence of God in my life calms me. It calms me. Imagine that. There was a pastor who went to his hometown, and he decided to take a walk through town. And at the edge of the town, there was a cemetery, and there were tombstones from the 19th century. He decided to walk through and just read what people wrote about their lives. And a specific tombstone struck him. For the tombstone, the woman listed her husband's too, but there was no birth and there was no death mentioned. But the tombstone said this: sleeps, but rests not, loved, but was not loved, tried to please, but pleased not, died as she lived, alone. Alone. And you can feel like that as a Christian. See, the absence of divine fellowship in my life, it devalues all fellowship. The absence of divine fellowship, it will lower my standards for fellowship. The absence of divine fellowship will confuse all the other relationships. The absence of divine fellowship puts unreasonable expectations on all other fellowship. We were built to fellowship with God. We were designed to fellowship with God. We were created to fellowship with God. We were saved to fellowship with God. I'll close with this. In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, you have Joseph and Mary on their way to Bethlehem from Nazareth. Mary, very, very pregnant. And they're on their way. And they're fulfilling a prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But I'm not even sure they were even aware of it, to be honest. Sometimes we honor the will of God and we're not even aware of it. We're just walking by faith. They're tired, maybe hungry. They're moving a bit, maybe a bit expectant. Okay, we'll get to the Jerusalem. We'll find a place. Mary, you'll rest. I know you're heavy laden. We'll get there. It'll be okay. They arrive. It's after dark. There's no room. There's no friends. There's no greeting party. There's no nurse. There's no room. There's no help. They are alone. But I want you to watch their life. Watch their life. Mary's content, and Joseph is calm. Why? Because God was with them. They knew it. In Matthew chapter 1, when the angel came to Joseph and let him know that God is involved in this, and when Mary in Luke chapter 1 heard that she would be carrying God, they both knew that God was with them. That's the effect of the presence of God in my life. In the crisis, in the storm, it is the presence of God that gives me peace. In Philippians 4, 7, that passes understanding. It's the presence of God that gives me rest. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. It doesn't say in his presence that my circumstances are good. It doesn't say in his presence that I get my way. It doesn't say in his presence that everything works out the way I want them to. But in his presence of God, I am stabilized. I am secure. In this life, we kind of seek significance. That is a $1 trillion business on this planet, significance. Why do you think social media is so big? It gives you a chance to be relevant, significant. But here's the rub. In this world, with everything that's happening, what did Andrew say in John 6? What are we among so many? To be relevant is a losing battle. To be significant is a losing battle. But in Christ, in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, I can be enlarged in him in Christ, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, I can be complete in him. In Christ, I can have fullness of him. I can be consoled by him, accepted by him. I'm never alone in the fellowship of God. I'm never empty in the fellowship of God. God's people and the world's problems bring the presence of God. When you bring God's people into a crisis, when you bring God's people into a situation, they bring in the presence of God. And when they walk by faith and walk in the Spirit, they bring in an anointing. So a battlefield can be anointed. A war bunker can be anointed. A tank can be anointed. When the presence of God is there, there are no boundaries. So I'll say this. Our people are not soldiers. Some of them want to be. They're just simple sheep. But when they go across the water and our spirit goes with them, they go in the presence of God. And that changes everything. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you tonight. Is anyone here listening to our voice? You've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Speak to him tonight. Invite him in. He's paid the price for you to experience his presence. Put your faith and your confidence in the person of Christ. That's your prayer tonight. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, put your hand way up high. We just want to stand with you in faith. Is there one tonight? I want Christ. I want Christ. I can't figure anything else out, but I need Jesus Christ. Is there one tonight? And for all of us tonight, that's what I need most in my life, the presence of God. I can be like Mary. I can be like Joseph. Nothing there for me, but Jesus is there and he's enough. He's enough. He's enough for my trouble. He's enough for my problems. He's enough for my anxiety, the presence of God. There's grace and there's mercy in the presence of God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Even in this room tonight, in your presence, among your people, we are one in you. Thank you, God. We praise you tonight in your son's name. Amen.